Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, December 10th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins, as always. 15 days to Christmas. Jeez, where did the time go? Yes, what happens when you have a new puppy, I guess. But Dwayne, a lot of news this morning. Of course, we'll touch on the CONCACAF Champions League draw from last night. We're going to invite our listeners, if you want to know more about the draw and what we thought about it. We really went deep into the draw last night. 20-minute conversation just about the CONCACAF Champions League draw, available for patrons only on patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. But last night we had the CCL draw. We'll talk about the Lou Marsh Trophy later on too, and Alfonso Davies in the Lou Marsh versus Bianca Andreescu. We'll talk that later on. But let's start the show, Dwayne, by talking about this 2019 Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year, Megan Rapinoe.
Yep, Rapinoe has won all the awards this year, including the one that she matters the most to her of all, which would be the World Cup trophy and the most valuable player in that tournament in France, player of the tournament, the Golden Boot winner. Of course, won the FIFA Best Award, and then won the Ballon d'Or most recently. We talked about her Ballon d'Or win in detail. Jonathan Tannenwald and myself did on the first Women's Soccer Review podcast, which came out last week. If you haven't heard from that, that is part of our free tier. That is a supplementary podcast to this show, so you can hear our thoughts on Rapinoe and whether we thought she deserved to be the best player, named the best women's soccer player in the world. TLDR, probably not. TLDR times two. But we get why she won. And why she won, Kevin, is why this one she won too. Because this one, let me just read you the detail. This is from the Wikipedia entry of what the Sports Person of the Year, which of course was named the Sports Man of the Year for many years, but has been changed to reflect changing attitudes and you know, consciousness about wording in the last 10 years or so. It is not necessarily a pure scoreboard award. It is, and the athlete or team whose performance that year most embodies the spirit of sportsmanship and achievement. So I'm sure there will be some that will hear that word sportsmanship and get a little bit irritable when it comes to Megan Rapinoe and her celebrations against Thailand in particular. That's not exactly how I would define sportsmanship either, but I think how they're defining it would be to do with her activism work, her work about LGBTQ issues, her work to for women's equality issues, and we can't deny that. And certainly the speech that we played on this show with the FIFA Best Award spoke to that. So I don't have an issue with that. You know, I think we spoke at length at the time about our thoughts on the celebration stuff, and it gets tied in, and it's impossible to have a rational conversation about it because people just naturally go into camps. It's a reflection of our time, so let's not go there. But that's what this is about. As I said to Kevin off air, the Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year award, it gets cute a lot. It gets cute in the sense that it has very much in recent years veered away from just straight scoreboard. There have been some straight scoreboard wins, but it just tends to get cute, as I said, to look a little bit deeper than just that. So before I go, I'll list some of the most recent winners to give you a better idea in a second. But before we do that, Kevin, I'll let you jump in and give your thoughts just quickly on having learned this and knowing a little bit more about the award now.
Well, I do agree with giving it to someone in not necessarily a community, but if you're going to give this award, if it's going to be the main page of your Sports Illustrated, if it's going to be this month the cover of your magazine and going to be the main topic talked about and the longest one talked about in your issue, I do understand and I do agree with choosing someone that has a substance and not just, oh, great performances on the ice. He training example, if it was a hockey player or a football player or an American football player, he's great on the field, he's great on the ice, and he works hard, he trains hard, and he's appreciated by their peer, and that's why LeBron James in 2016 example, Sports Person of the Year. But I do understand as well, Megan Rapinoe, and using your cover to say more than just we're giving this award to someone. There's a bit more substance here, for or against. What I mean is, it's going to create controversy, or at least a discussion. And also, the discussion is long time overdue. So I do agree with the choice of Megan Rapinoe as Sports Person of the Year for all the reasons I just mentioned. And also, it is defendable. World Cup champion this year. She's won the FIFA the Best Award, which that gives you credibility to win a Sports Person of the Year award also. Heck, a team that only plays a sport that's only played at a professional level in America won the Sports Person of the Year a couple years ago. So yes, I do think it's a worthy choice. And also, it's a choice that is made to create a conversation, and that is needed in our society.
It is. Look, I think it's a pretty obvious call. When you know a little bit about how Sports Illustrated thinks with this award, it makes a lot of sense that Rapinoe has won it, because again, it doesn't really matter that she's, whether she is or she isn't, the top female soccer player in the world. As I said a moment ago, you know, the evidence on the whole is that she is not, but what she is the female soccer player in the world, the athlete in the United States that it generates the most conversation, the most interest. Now, this is an interesting one, particularly right now, because the one thing I will say about this that may be a little bit surprised is that Rapinoe is divisive. She reflects the left-right divide in the United States that exists right now in terms of how people view her, and this is not going to be an award that's going to be considered universally popular by certain people on the right side of the political spectrum in the United States, right? So that, you know, in an industry that needs to sell magazines, they might have went a little bit more diplomatic here or political or politically correct, if you prefer.
But would we be talking about it this morning if they did? And I think that's where they understand something is, look, if we choose a divisive award or Sports Person of the Year, it could have been on the other side example. It could have been Colby Covington, famous and outspoken Donald Trump supporter. Donald Trump came to UFC because of Colby Covington. Just saying, it could have been the other way around too. And it would have been the same type of topic. Of course, we're not talking about it here because it would not have any reference to soccer. But I think that's where it's useful when you use your cover like this. It's also, even if it's someone that is divisive for good reasons and sometimes not good reasons. What I mean is everyone has their own opinion what they like or don't like someone. She's the face of soccer in the United States right now for the women's side and maybe even the face of the sports, period. And I think that's one of the reasons they chose her, because they know that some people would argue against it really hard, which will keep the conversation going longer than if everyone agrees.
No, precisely. I get it from an editorial standpoint. For sure. And beyond that, again, I actually agree with the choice. I don't agree that she should have been named the top player in the world. I don't.
Yeah, we agree there. It's like, have you seen Sam Kerr play? Yeah, exactly. Even other players like Rose Lavelle had a great year. So, yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
And look at the club side, right? She only played 5 years.
There's tons. I mean, she scored a lot of goals. She's not, like, outrageous. It's not like they picked back when Martha was winning. But
she's top 10, for sure. Like, top 10 in the United States and in the world, probably. But she played 5 club games coming back from injury. And also, but the World Cup, and she won the World Cup, and she was an important figure for the team. So you could argue both ways. And I guess that's another component to this Sports Person of the Year is there's no real true like number one choice outside. And like, if you some years there was a damn horse, you know, so there's not like a consensus. There'll never be when it comes to an award like this one.
A couple thoughts here. I'll give you the last 10 winners just real quick and maybe some funny things in the past. I mean, we are a soccer show, but let's dive into this a little bit deeper. First off, although this is supposed to be a world award, it's not. It's an American award. Yeah. I mean, generally, you look at these winners, and there's a lot of red, white, and blue and stars and stripes on this list. There have been some non-American winners over the past, including, just looking quick, there's been 3 Canadians to have won this for our Canadian listeners. I'm guessing you can take a stab at the dark and figure out who one of them was, and it was very scoreboard related.
Wayne Gretzky, I imagine, once, for sure. And so there you go.
Wayne Gretzky and Bobby Orr, which are the two hockey players to have won it ever. So there you go. And also when they got cute one year in 1987, they gave athletes who gave back. And this actually was when the height of me subscribing to this magazine. So I remember this one distinctly. And I remember as a kid being irritated as hell that these people that I didn't know of won this award, because children don't really think empathetically. But anyway, a man by the name of Bob Bourne was listed amongst 10 people in the sports world that gave back. And he was helping handicapped people at a children's school. So that's why he won that. At any rate, in the last, there have been some embarrassing wins in here too. If you go way back, you can see, I'm just scanning through here. The coach for Penn State
Joe Paterno.
He was a winner of this thing.
That didn't age well. There's a few of those probably when you look at it. Like
in 1998, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were the dual winners of it.
Lance Armstrong. For sure, Lance Armstrong won it once. For sure, he won it at least once from 1999 to 2005, and that didn't age well either.
Anyway, so quickly, I'll just go back to last decade, and you can get the idea. They've kind of they go cute, and then they sometimes go scoreboard, and it just depends on the year. So Rapino won this year. The Golden State Warriors collectively won in 2018. Then in 2017, they gave it to two Houston area athletes, Altuve, the Houston Astro player, and J.J. Watt, who plays for the Texans, raised a lot of money to help the survivors of Hurricane Harvey. In 2016, they gave it to LeBron. You know, can't get much more scoreboard than that one. And 2015 also gave it a bit scoreboard. Serena Williams won it. 2014, Madison Bumgarner, who was a three-time World Series champion, pitcher there, if you don't know of him. Peyton Manning, 2013. That one doesn't really age that well either. But at the time, he was not age well for bad reasons.
Because he retired.
Appeared on the map. Anyway.
Well, he retired. Leave the guy alone. He was old. He's like, I had enough. I can't do this. I'm gone.
I'm done. So LeBron won in 2012. Pat Summitt, a female college basketball coach who was the all-time winningest coach in NCAA basketball at that time, and Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K. So they gave it to two college basketball coaches in 2011.
I'm just going to help you with this. Mike Krzyzewski.
Krzyzewski. Would I say Krzyzewski?
Yeah, well, you just read it the way it should be pronounced, because you're right. But we don't decide name is Krzyzewski because,
you can tell how much I cover college basketball. I mean, I watch March Madness, but that's about it. And then it goes on. I mean, you can look back. It's Wikipedia lists all these. And there have been, as I said, Lance Armstrong, by the way, won in 2012. So there are 2002. So there you go. Tiger Woods has won this one. This is the second time a soccer player has won it, but the last time was a collective. That was, of course, the 1999 women's soccer team. So Rapinoe is the first individual soccer player to ever be named the sports person of the year, which again reflects that this is an American award, because I guarantee you that if this is worldwide, there'd be a few more of them in there.
A couple of Messis, a couple of Ronaldos, maybe even a couple of Maradona, Beckham, Pele, and name it over the years. Yeah, for sure. There would have been a bit of a different list. But I thought it was, and you thought for sure it was a great conversation to have. And we do believe, again, congratulations to Megan Rapinoe, Sports Person of the Year, according to Sports Illustrated. And this was announced yesterday. Let's go back to last night, Dwayne, where we talked about the CONCACAF Champions League draw. We now know who in MLS will face whom in the round of 16th of the CONCACAF Champions League. Atlanta United of Major League Soccer will face FC Mortaga from Honduras. Club America Comunicacion, Cruz Azul versus Portmore United, the first Jamaican team to take part of the CONCACAF Champions League. They have been in the CONCACAF Champions Cup before, a long time ago, for Portmore and for other Jamaican teams. LAFC with Club Leon in the fourth matchup. Tigres versus Alianza. NYCFC versus San Carlos of Costa Rica. Seattle Sounders FC versus City Olimpia. City Olimpia is from Honduras as well. And the Montreal Impact versus Deportivo Saprissa. We'll get back to the Montreal Impact in a second, of course, being the city where I am, and we'll look at it more in details. But when you look at the rest of the draw, from a Major League Soccer perspective, Dwayne, who's your winner? Who's your loser? Who's laughing?
From a Major League Soccer perspective, with all due respect to the Impact, I would have to say the Sounders are the happiest team by the draw. There is a clear hard side and easy side of this draw. There's only one Mexican team, Tigres, on the side of the draw that that the Sounders and the Impact are on, along with NYCFC. So of those three teams, they would have to feel the most comfortable with their possibility of getting to the final, and the Sounders, where they basically have to get by the Impact or Saprissa, depending on your perspective, might be the hardest team in their quadrant there. So they probably are the team that is most happy with this. The team that is least happy with this, Kevin, is LAFC. That was not a shock. Whoever there was an MLS team was always going to have to draw Lyon, and it was, you know, arguably the best of the bunch in the mix. I mean, you know, the Sounders are the champions, but we all understand that LAFC was probably is the most talented team remaining in Major League Soccer. If I had to pick my MLS Cup favorite for 2020 right now, without seeing what kind of DPs come into this league, I'm probably going to stick with chalk so far. I don't see any reason not to, but that's a tough draw for them to get through Lyon. Although if you look at last year's competition, or the last few competitions, it has not been a slam dunk for the Mexican teams. The MLS teams have won. Toronto, of course, went to the final. Kansas City went to a semifinal, beating a Mexican team along the way. Montreal, way back when, beat a Mexican team themselves. Even this was before the MLS teams had sort of caught up a little bit. So it's not impossible. But if you're on that side of the draw that LAFC is on, and the idea that you're going to have to replicate what Toronto did, in the sense you're going to likely have to beat, you know, in LAFC's case, you're probably going to have to beat three Mexican teams, you know, just to get to a final. It's difficult to consider it's going to happen, but nonetheless, they play the games, and the Impact, if we want to move to them, I don't know, Kevin, unless you have any thoughts, I'll just jump. I think Saprissa is a good draw for them in the sense that they're a good team, but they're beatable. And that's, I think, all you can really hope for as a fan. You don't want to be bored. As much as you'd like to win the competition, do you really want to watch them trash the Jamaican team or something?
Like, but my quick answer to this was like, yeah, I'm always down for a squash match, and I'm always down for an emphatic victory. It doesn't matter to me. But I agree with you, though. And Olivier Renard, sporting director of the Montreal Impact, did mention after the draw that, you know, having a team like Saprissa being our first opponent this year in the CONCACAF Champions League makes everyone attentive. We'll make sure that everyone shows up and not necessarily take them lightly, because you cannot take them lightly. And once again, I'll remind everyone, Johan Venegas, former Montreal Impact player and Minnesota United player. Yes, it did not go well for Johan Venegas in Major League Soccer, I agree. But it's going well in the CONCACAF League for Johan Venegas, Golden Boot of the 2019 CONCACAF League, with 7 goals in the competition, and also player of the competition for Saprissa. It will be a homecoming of sort for Johan Venegas, and it could be the key for how Montreal beats Saprissa too, knowing a little bit of the tendencies of Venegas, I guess. But what I'm saying is everyone will need to pay attention to the first game. You cannot take this club lightly. If you do, you might run the risk of being eliminated in the round of 16. They're beatable, like you say, but only if everyone shows up and is in good form. And that is the question. How will Montreal get into good form for the middle of February, which means training camp probably starts in 3 weeks for the Impact?
Yeah, well, I know in the past the CCL teams in Major League Soccer have reported around January 2nd or 3rd, somewhere around there. And most of the rest of the teams wait another week or so before they show back up. So I suspect Montreal will go down in very early January. The caveat of all these conversations is how the CBA goes in, but we understand that, so no need to repeat it. Well, I always do.
It's still important to keep in mind, because the 2020 season is, it does depend on the CBA negotiations going well or not, because there could be a strike or there could be a lockout after the CCL also. But it is the main topic of this offseason. Even if you just read MLSsoccer.com, you would have no idea that it actually is the main topic of this offseason.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a mandate for them to not overly mention it. Look, which I don't blame them. They have to maintain their paycheck, so of course they're not going to go against the orders there. Look, from we'll get a lot more into the scoreboard side of things, this, the analyst of this, as it gets closer into January. Of course, we'll probably try and get a Saprissan, like a Costa Rican journalist on the show, and we'll break down Saprissa a lot more, and we'll by that time know a lot more. But in general, what I'll say is this. I think 5 years ago, when the last time the Impact played Costa Rican opposition, the level of play in Major League Soccer, particularly with a mid-level Major League Soccer team, which I think it's fair to call Montreal at this point, would have been very equal, if not maybe the top Costa Rican teams might have had a slight edge. I think that in the years that have passed, that it's now kind of reversed, so that the mid-level Major League Soccer team is probably a bit better than Saprissa. But at the same time, as you mentioned, they have a tremendous home advantage down there. They play on turf. Well, of course, Montreal's going to play on turf, too. It'll be turf-free turf in that match.
Guess what? Up. We're going to bring it back, Dwayne. We're going to bring it back, the turf.
And what a turf it'll be at the Big O.
Let's talk about turf, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
Indeed, indeed. And so, yes, it'll be a tough match, but I think that it's winnable. And look, you don't want to, with the attentiveness, I think that might be, you look at TFC last year, coming off the back-to-back MLS Cups, coming off the deep run, not last year, they weren't coming off back-to-back MLS Cups, but they expected more out of themselves last year, and they just completely came out flat in that tie, and I think against Kai, and I think that was a reflection of them thinking, okay, well, you know, we're not playing great, but I think that we have enough time to sort of work things out against them. And they didn't. When you have a motivated team, I don't care who you're playing. If you're not motivated fully to play in the freezing cold, which it won't be in this particular case, but it was last year for TFC, then you're going to have your ass handed to them. And they did. And at Montreal, if they're aware and they're going to come in motivated, then and certainly they're going to want to impress the new manager. So well, I would put them as a slight favorite in this tie.
That's the other aspect of it. It'll be the first competitive games for Thierry Henry since managing Monaco, but also only his like second club as a full-time manager. He had experiences, of course, with the Belgium national team and in the World Cup a couple of years ago, made it pretty far in that tournament and helped Roberto Martinez there and learned a lot, probably. But what I mean is players will play for Thierry Henry in the first few games. And yeah, I think I agree with you that the level of Major League Soccer, the level of play of every team in Major League Soccer has risen to a level that might be comparable on any given day now with the top club of Costa Rica, which usually is Saprissa. And maybe even be better on most days, too. And we'll have that answer sometime mid-February. But, Dwayne, I want to continue on a different conversation. We talked about the Sports Person of the Year. And in Canada, there is the equivalent. It is the Lumar's Trophy. And this year, for the first time ever, it was unanimously voted for Bianca Andreescu. The tennis player won the U.S. Open, first Canadian to win a U.S. Open ever. And she has been unanimously voted the Sportsperson of the Year. In Canada, the Lumar's Trophy. In the soccer perspective, we do have one candidate that has not been necessarily, I will tell you, have been overlooked in this conversation because it's not followed as closely as other sports in Canada, and that's Alphonso Davies with Bayern Munich. Which on any given year, if we don't have a tennis player winning a major tournament, Alphonso Davies can be the Lumar's Trophy in 2019, I believe.
Yeah. I think that for the first time in a long time, for a male soccer player, Christine Sinclair won the Lumar's in 2012.
Yes.
Which was the first time and only time that a soccer player has won it. But for a male soccer player to have won it, they would have to do something very significant to make themselves noticeable. I think for the first time in a long time, and the reason I wanted to conclude this today, is that Alphonso Davies was at least in the room. His name was brought up, and I know that from having from an understanding of the voters and seeing some of the stuff that they were saying, that it was a long list name. He wasn't necessarily shortlisted, and I don't think that he should have been based on the overall depth of Canadian athletes across multiple sports in this particular time on earth. This is maybe a golden era for Canadian sports in the international scene.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Yeah, so it would be very difficult to argue that that he was the best Canadian athlete. But, you know, the argument that soccer players will make is that he has broken in as a regular starter for one of the top 10 teams in the world. And that's not something that has happened very often or at ever, depending on your perspective on where Owen Hargreaves stands, right? So that's that's something that, well, I mean, it's fair enough because he would have been eligible for the Lude. I know true. Soccer people don't like it when I suggest that he should be thought of as at least partly Canadian, but the reality is he would have been eligible for that award.
Can you imagine the guy could have won the Lumar Trophy and still be playing for England?
He could have. I mean,
he wouldn't have.
Holyfield, Evander Holyfield, the world heavyweight champion, was also eligible for that award, and I know for a fact that he was a hot level of conversation within that room because I've heard people talk about it. I don't know for a fact because I was there, because I wasn't, but I heard people discuss the fact that in the room he was like screaming debate level because of these exact reasons. Now, he would have been the more obvious choice. Owen Hargreaves was a great sort of bit player, right, on great teams, not necessarily the world heavyweight champion of the world. So that was more of the conversation. So obviously it was there. But look, I think in the days ahead, though, and this is something worth saying, and for the record, the Lou Marsh is comparable to the Sports Person of the Year, but the cute part of it's not included. It's purely a scoreboard award.
And it's voted by journalists versus Sports Illustrated. I don't even know how they come up with the Sports Person of the Year.
They just editorially come into a room and decide. There you go. Illustrated, yeah.
The big difference. One is a vote from journalists and media personalities. And the other one is something different, still worthwhile in its own rights.
Yeah, no, precisely. But I was wondering what it would take. And look, if you look at the way Sinclair won in 2012, there is sort of within Canadian sports journalism circles, there's a bit of an understanding that the Lou Marsh typically goes to quote unquote amateur athletes during Olympic years. Now, Christine Sinclair is not an amateur athlete in the purest sense, but according to in the minds of these voters, she would be thought of that way.
So let's replace amateur by Olympic. So that way we can actually, so that way that's basically every 2 years, Lou Marsh is very fairly weighted voting on Olympic athletes, which example, if you're a golfer and you win the 4 major tournaments and then the PGA 1 year, you're Canadian. And even if there's an Olympic, guess what? You'll win, but it'll take an amazing exploit to beat a gold medalist or a medalist, an Olympian in an Olympic year for the Lou Marsh Trophy in Canada.
Yeah, well, that's quickly before we move on. The winner this year was a slam dunk. Like there's no doubt she won it the second she was lying on the end on the hard court at Flushing Meadows, right? Like that's just, it was done. She'd won.
She was gonna win after that hug from Serena in Toronto. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean she won Indian Wells. She won the Canadian Open, which is not called the Canadian Open anymore, but that's what it is. And first Canadian to have done that in 50 years or some damn thing. And then she went and won the U.S. Open. So like, my God, yeah, she was going to win. But for a Canadian soccer player to win, and I almost think that Davies, if Canada were to somehow make the Olympics this year, and it's not impossible, but it would be an upset for them to get there, and then they were to go on to do something at it, and he was there, then certainly he would be considered.
Bayern Munich wins the Champions League and he scores a winning goal. Like, then he might get it.
That's the other possibility. But even in that case, I think it would be a hard argument for people to make.
If Davies wins the Ballon d'Or, he might get the Lou Marsh.
He'd win.
So if Ronaldo says, the best player I've ever seen is Alphonso Davies, then maybe it starts a conversation. The year after that, he gets the Ballon d'Or, and then he might get the Lou Marsh.
But look, the soccer community out there will often get their sort of defenses up when this sort of situation comes around. And there was times when Atiba Hutchinson's name probably should have been long-listed, should have been in the room. I don't know if he ever should have won it, for the same reason that Owen Hargreaves probably never should have won it, putting the passports issues aside there, because they're not necessarily stars, but they're very good players in good situations. But for a team athlete, forget soccer for a second to win it, you have to be outstanding. You have to be Sidney Crosby, Wayne Gretzky, Bobby Orr, players like that, that are like all-timers, that are international caliber, you know, beyond reproach. Because that's the other thing about this award, and we've talked about this on Five Rings a lot, where, you know, the Lou Marsh Award, the other thing that they really struggle with is trying to how to place A, team sports, and B, in particular, how to put hockey players into this equation, because clearly we have you know, of the top 100 hockey players in the world, it's 65 like, of them are Canadian.
So every year, you could, like Sidney Crosby could have won the Lou Marsh Trophy for 8 years and Connor McDavid the other two. And that's why also other sports are weighted differently to make it interesting. Yeah, it could be easy. It could be, example, your best athlete you have in any given sport, and he could be so good that he, like, if Andreescu wins two majors next year, and two majors the year after, two Grand Slam next year, two Grand Slam after that, she might win the Lou Marsh, but every year that she performs at a high level, it will take even more of an impressive performance to win it again. And that's the type of recognition that Lou Marsh is there is not going to be fatigue, because just to repeat as a Lou Marsh is almost unprecedented.
Yeah, no, Steve Nash did it when he won back-to-back MVPs in the NBA. It was a little difficult to not argue that amongst what is the second most popular team sport in the world, if you're the best player in it, in the best league of it, then probably you're the best Canadian athlete, right? Like, it takes something like that to get on the agenda, and it would take something like that for Davies or any other Canadian, but that's face facts. Davies is the only one that's even close to it right now. To get in that equation, just as it took Christine Sinclair to do something very dramatic at a very big event that was watched by a lot of people to get on that equation. And look, had Bianca not done what she did this year, and there was a down year across the board for Canadian athletes, and Christine Sinclair had done something at the World Cup, then maybe I would have made the argument for that. But for the soccer folks out there trying to argue that Alphonso Davies was somehow robbed in this thing, well, first off, you don't watch anything other than soccer in that case, because, again, how could you argue against this young lady for what she did this year? She clearly was the winner. And second of all, I mean, you got to think a little bit more universal. It's a universal award. Davies will have lots of opportunity to be recognized. But, you know, as a final thought on that, Kevin, I can't remember a Canadian. I've watched this sport as a Canadian for a long, long time. There has never been, other than Sinclair, certainly on the male side, there has never been a player that has crossed over as much as Davies has. He does, I believe, have recognition within sports circles across this country now. His name is not one that you have to explain, and that's a significant thing for the sport. And
yeah, because if you tell them Jonathan David, they're not going to react the same way, but he is having a great season, right? So I think you're right, and I think maybe in the next couple of years, the magnifying glass will be even bigger in Alphonso Davies, at least from the mainstream Canadian media, because they'll recognize that his exploits are so rare, and he's 19 years old. He's going to continue. Wow, he's actually just turned 20. Turned 19. So he is going to continue to get better, to improve, and he will be the best Canadian soccer player this country. Well, of course, if he's Canadian, it's this country who made it, but it'll be the best that it ever produces.
Yeah, and look, if there was a vote for Bianca's 19, so she would have won the best teenager award too. But if you were having a conversation restricting it just to players under the age of 21 or something, then Davies is absolutely a shortlist player. I mean, think of another young Canadian that's dominating as much as he is and isn't a tennis player.
I was going to say Shapovalov, OJ Eliasson, but okay, yeah. You took the tennis player out of there. Okay, perfect. No, there's not.
Then you're looking at Davies, but that's a different conversation, and we're inventing awards now. The point is the fact that we're
the sports person of the year that is not over 21 and that does not play tennis is Alphonso Davies.
There you go. That we'll name him that. And look, I didn't even vote for him for Canadian Soccer Player of the Year. I voted for David.
Well, I did.
I did.
I knew you would get cute. So I went with the order that I think it should be. Davies and David. And of course,
I went Davies second.
I know. Which it won't change. He's still going to win, of course. But no, that's going to be a conversation for next week, because last Friday was the cutoff date to vote for the Player of the Year in Canada. And we'll talk about that when it actually becomes public. But on that note, Dwayne, I think it's time to wrap up the show for today. You can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and this show at Soccer Today SPN. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of The World of Football with a Soccer Perspective at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, right here on our Twitter feed. You like what Dwayne and I do on a daily basis? You want to hear more? Go to our Patreon feed, patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. A CONCACAF Champions League draw analysis After the draw last night, we have a Five Rings Extra breaking news talking about Russia and their ban and how it will affect their upcoming international competitions over the next 4 years, and also how does it involve soccer in that conversation. You can find that and more on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. But as always, until tomorrow, for Dwayne, I'm Kevin. We wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.